I want to share just a few words with you about the text. It's a short text this morning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And yes, it is just that one verse. So if you have your copy of God's Word, would you join me in standing up as we listen to this word together? It's a very simple verse, but a very powerful verse, I think, that speaks very much to what this family has been dealing with for the last several months and what we as a church are to be about in our own community as well. And Jesus is speaking as a part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And he says this to those listening. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of your word and how you speak to us today. Thank you for the opportunity we have, Father, just to engage your purposes and your plans for our lives. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us and enable us, Father, to see you for who you are and to experience the fullness of what you desire to do in our lives as individuals and through the church family that we are, and most importantly, through the kingdom of God that you've allowed us to be a part of. Bless this time and use it as you desire, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, a lot of times in life we wonder, why are we here? And I'm sure there are times that this family, as they've been going through some struggles, they're wondering what's going on. We thought we were going to be there and things didn't work out that way. Has that ever happened to anyone else? You've had a season in your life where you're wondering, what is going on, God? What are you doing? It's not going according to my plan. You know, we've talked about before that little diagram you may have had to do in grade school. I don't know if every grade school did it. We did a diagram where we were going to map out our lives for the next 70 years when I was in second grade. I don't know why they chose 70. That just sounded good, I guess, to them. Maybe they're being optimistic about how long all of us were going to live. I think, you know, whatever. And, you know, we all had it mapped out. And sometimes in our minds, we kind of think, well, I'll do this when I'm in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, and then we'll just rest. And yet sometimes God has other plans for our lives. Because God's purposes and God's desires for your life and for my life are quite different from the ones that we have. I like safety. I like security. I like to know where I'm going. I like that just kind of everything mapped out. But sometimes God doesn't allow my life or your life to go that way, does he? Sometimes unexpected things happen. Sometimes things you never planned on happen. Sometimes you face challenges that you didn't think you could, you don't believe you, if you'd known they were coming, you'd have freaked out. And yet God is able, in the midst of those challenges, to do amazing things in and through your life. Because as it says in the text, you are the salt of the earth. So salt, you know, doesn't seem like something all that important to us. Except, you know, if you've ever had food that didn't have enough salt on it, at least the kind that, as much as you like, it's not very tasty, is it? And really, salt in the ancient world was more than just something to apply a flavor food. Salt was a preservative, as you know. It's how they preserved their meats, their vegetables, a lot of different things they used with salt. It was literally money in the ancient world. It was something they used for currency. So it had actual material value to it. And when Jesus talks about the disciples and those of us who follow his teaching as being salt of the earth, it's more than just seasoning the earth. It's more than just the flavor of it. It's literally being an influence and a transforming agent in the world in which we live. We are called as followers of Christ to live our lives and our faith in a way that others see Christ in us, and that makes a difference. How are we doing with that as the Church of Jesus Christ today? What is the actual difference between followers of Christ and those who have no connection to Christ at all? A few years ago, George Barna always does surveys. That's what he does. He's a pollster, one of the most renowned pollsters, not just in the United States, but in the world. And he has done pollsters. He did this poll. I remember it was probably about 11, 12 years ago when he did this survey among the church and those who were not a part of the church. And he worked with Gallup and some others to try and determine what are those benchmarks. And they had about 10 or 15 key questions that they asked. I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head. But in these questions, they would determine where a person was in their walk and how they were in their relationship with Christ. And the frightening thing they discovered after making that survey, and this took 2 years to do, and it was tens of thousands of people they surveyed, from those inside the fellowship of the faithful and those outside of the church, is that there was really no discernible difference between followers of Christ and those who were not followers of Christ in the way that they lived. And what's scary about that is, as we look at our world today sometimes, when we look at the church and we look at the world, it's hard to see the difference. It's hard to understand, for me, it's free sometimes to understand, really, am I being the follower of Christ that I have been called to be, or have I kind of slipped into the mode of just kind of getting by and kind of living my life in a way so that I don't bother too many people, so that my faith doesn't become objectionable? And so the character of my Savior is not known, because at times, like the old children's song, you remember the children's song? This Little Light of Mine, everybody remember that song? I'm not going to sing it for you because I like it. That I hide it under the bushel a little bit. That I let my faith be something that I talk about, but not something I really apply to my life. And I think what Jesus is trying to tell us in this text, in this simple verse, is a reminder that we are the salt of the earth. Our lives should make a difference. But if the salt has become tasteless or flavorless, or if it's kind of worthless anymore, what good is the salt? What do you do with salt that doesn't work anymore? What's the point of it? Well, what they would do is just throw it on the ground. Get rid of it. It wasn't worth anything else. So just, and that was, think about it. That was something before that was of great value, something that had all this power in it, something that was of great significance to them, and now it's just part of the dirt. So what does that say to us as followers of Christ today about our faith? Does our faith truly make a difference? Is it making an impact in our families, among our coworkers, in our culture? Or is it just something we do because we're expected to? Several years ago, far too long ago in our nation, in the late 1700s and early 1800s, they had what was known as the Second Great Awakening. You might have read about it, may have been forced to read about it in history books. They actually, when I was in school, this is how old I am, when I was in school, we actually read some of the writings and sermons of that, including Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon in the Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, as a part of American literature, yes. In a public school, we read that. Now, I know that isn't done a lot today, but it was done then, and I remember we studied a little bit about it kind of in our history class, just as kind of a passing, you know, mention of what it was and that it happened. But I remember asking my pastor a little bit more, and so he had me dig a little deeper, and I was reading more about the writings of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and some of those folks that were involved in that Second Great Awakening. I thought, what was it about that time that changed the world and transformed the American culture and eventually led to the abolition of slavery in our country? The abolitionist movement was born out of the Second Great Awakening. I thought, well, what caused that? It's the work of God, isn't it? But it was the people of God were surrendered fully and completely to God's purposes in their lives. They were allowing him to use their lives for whatever purpose and whatever desire he had for them. And the same is true for you and I today, is it not? Are we willing to surrender and allow him to use us to truly allow our lives to make a difference in this world to which we have been called and allowed to live? That simple verse about being the salt of the earth, I mean, it's, you know, a nice phrase. It's very poetic. Sounds good. But what does it really mean for my life today in Frederick, Maryland? And for the lives of the Langs as they go back to Nicaragua here, hopefully in a few months? What does it mean? Does it mean that I just kind of live my life and see what happens and that's it? Or does it mean that earnestly day after day I seek to listen to the voice of God and the Holy Spirit's call in my life? God, what do you want me to do with these days you have given me? Because every one of us in this room knows that we have a certain number of days, right? No one knows how long our life will be. And I'm not trying to be morbid this morning or scare anybody. It's just reality. We're given a certain number of days and years in our lives. What we do with those days is what makes a difference in this life. It's what makes a difference in the lives of those we love that are close to us and those we meet and encounter. But all too often in my life, I get caught up on what it means for me. Does anybody else struggle with that? Everybody's quiet this morning. Everybody okay? All right? I mean, what it means about, what's it matter to Mike? Is it going to make a difference in Mike's life? Does it really help me? Does it, you know, is it what I want? And I get caught up in that, and that's a struggle for me daily. And I'm probably guessing it's a struggle for some other folks in the fellowship as well. But God desires a different perspective on my life and on your life. Are you ready? It's not about you. Okay? Yeah, I'm going to put this down for a minute because I know where I'm going anyway. It's just a crutch. That's what we preachers do. We hang on to our Bibles a lot of times in the sermon like a crutch. We know where we're going, but anyway, we do it. Your life and my life is not about us. It's not about the 70 plus whatever years you're given on this earth and what you do with it. It's not about your resources. It's not about your jobs. It's not about even your family. It's about what Christ does with you and your life. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, when you and I stand before the King of the universe, the Creator of all, He's not going to ask us, well, how much did you make an hour? What was your retirement account like? He's going to wonder, He's going to ask what you did with the days, the moments, the hours, the opportunities that He presented you with for the sake of the kingdom of God. It's all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus Christ. Because what percentage of His life did Jesus give for you and me? Just curious. 20%? 10%? That's a good number. We like that as Baptists, right? All of it. He gave it all for you and for me. He did all of that for us. He suffered for us. Why? Why would He do something like that? Two reasons. First and foremost, it was obedience to the will of the Father, right? Jesus was faithful to His Father's will to the end. And the second one was love, because He loved you. I know we talk about that a lot in church, don't we? We talk about love. We talk about love like it's, I don't know, something we just talk about because it makes us feel good. But do we understand the depth of what it means when God says He loves us? When God desires to a relationship with us? When God wants to be with us? When He wants to pour into us? When He wants us to experience Him in all that He is? Do we really begin to grasp that? Do we think about that? That the Creator of the universe, the one who with a word spoke everything that is into existence, the guy that possesses all power, all authority, He's the chief, He's the big kahuna, whatever you want to call Him, He's in charge, wants to meet with you and wants to invest in your life, wants to change you and make you into the man or woman that He's created you to be, that this world will be a different place because of the life that you live and the faith that you express. I don't know. What do you think? Does that make sense to anyone else? It's pretty simple. It's not that hard. It's not anything that, you know, you need a PhD to figure out or, you know, you need to know all this stuff. It really is very simple. What's He trying to tell you and I today on how we can flesh out our lives and the walk that we have with Him to truly be the salt of the earth? And what would America, let's just get specific. We're not going to pick on Nicaragua this morning, if that's okay. But what would America look like if the followers of Jesus Christ in the churches in America started to live out this verse? I don't know. It'd be different, wouldn't it? Anybody think it'd be different? I believe it would be. So what's the problem? What's the disconnect? The disconnect for me, and I'm going to just pick on me a little bit because I can do that, right? I can say whatever I want to about myself, and you shouldn't be offended because I'm talking about me, right? But if it applies to you, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with you. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to let it go and see what He does, but let the Holy Spirit speak to each of us. For me, this is what the struggle is. Lord, and I say that word a lot, but sometimes I don't mean it. That's a whole other sermon we don't have time for. But Lord, what's going to happen to me if I trust You completely? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my vocation? What's going to happen to me as a person? What's going to happen if I follow You and don't worry about the consequences, but I just follow You and trust You every day with my life? What will happen? And what does Jesus say when I say that? The same thing every time. And He's probably going to say the same to you. I'm just going to tell you. Trust me. Trust me, child. Don't worry about that. Look at Matthew 6:25 and following if you don't believe about what Jesus and God, what our Lord thinks about worry. He's not too concerned about it. But it's hard for me because I see things and I try to, I don't know if anyone else has struggled with the paralysis by analysis. You know what that means? You analyze things too much. You keep looking at things and you try to figure out how it all works together and you look at your life and how it's all going to, Lord, how's this all going to play out? And I get focused on this whatever that I create about myself, that I forget that God's in control of me and my circumstances and everything about my life and your life as well, He has a hand in. He's at work. And he's working out his plan. And it's not always his perfect will. I mean, yeah, if it all worked the way he wanted it to, it might work out different. And we kind of get in the way of his perfect will a lot of times, don't we? We do stuff we shouldn't do. We think things we shouldn't think. We go directions we shouldn't go. But yet God has a plan and a will that will be accomplished regardless of what we do, because he is God and he is sovereign. You ever heard that term before? I hope so. It's one we don't talk about a lot in churches, because we like to talk about free will. And free will exists, but so does the sovereignty of God, folks. God always accomplishes what God desires. Always. You know how many backup plans God has? Can you see my fingers? What is that? Double zero, in case you didn't get it. God does not have a backup plan for your life. Doesn't have one. Doesn't need one. Why? Because he's God. How many backup plans do you and I have for circumstances? A lot of them, don't we? Always got a backup plan. I remember that was one of my mottos as a kid. Got to have a backup plan. God says, no, I don't need one. I'm going to work my will in your life. And my will in your life is to make a difference in the world around you through you. Now, I don't know personally what's going on in your life. That's the Holy Spirit's job, okay? I don't know that. Can't peer into where God's working in your life. I can't do that, and that's okay. I don't want to. But I know the Holy Spirit is working in each and every one of your lives that are here today, or you wouldn't be here. And what is he prodding you to do? Where is he leading you? How is he moving you? What is he trying to tell you to do with the days and the moments and the energy that he's given you? And what is our response to be when the Lord tells us, this is what I want you to do? Or when he leads us in this direction, what should our response always be? We know the Sunday school answer, right? What's our response? Yes, Lord. Whatever. Sure, I'll do what you want. That's the Sunday school answer. But more often than not, what is my response and your response to those proddings and calls? I'm going to speak about me. I can't say about you. Maybe you're better at this than I am. But when God prods me, I'm going to say, God, wait a minute. Why? What's going to happen? And I have asked God that question so many times in my life. And yet, for some reason, he doesn't annihilate me and turn me into dust because I ask a question. He's gracious. He's merciful. I can't help but think he has to shake his head or roll his eyes or something every now and again with me. Maybe not, but if that's just what I would think. He says, child, trust me. And maybe as a fellowship, we're in one of those times right now. Maybe we've been in one of those times for a while. I don't know how long. I think before I came here, you were in one of those times. And you're still in it. And God is saying to all of us, trust me, child. Trust me. Because the goal of the fellowship of the faithful isn't to fill the pews. Let me say this again. The goal of the fellowship of the faithful, the church of Jesus Christ, is not to fill these seats. It's not about them. Sorry, I couldn't hit it hard enough to make my point because my hands are too weak. It's not about seats. It's not about the people in the pews. It's about the people outside these walls. Our job is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ outside of this fellowship, outside of this building, to people who need to hear. That's our job. That's why we're here. And we gather here on Sunday mornings to worship and to focus our hearts and minds on our King, so that when we leave here, when you go to your jobs, when you go to school, when you're out in this community, wherever you find yourself in Frederick County or wherever you find yourself, that you have opportunity to be salt to those around you. As the Holy Spirit works in your life, through your words, through your deeds, through your actions, through every part of who you are. And what's the point of that? To accomplish his mission. And that's what your life and my life is about. It's about the mission of God. You and I are on a mission from God, literally, as followers of Jesus Christ. You ever thought about that? This church is on a mission from God. If we're not on God's mission, if we're on our own agendas, whatever those look like, whatever our plans are, if it's not connected to the mission of God, it's not a church anymore, it's a club. And what does that look like for us? I'm going to let you flesh that out a little bit. I've been struggling with that in some times of prayer and meditation, trying to figure out what God wants. But how many of you can pray and read the Bible and understand it? All of you, if you can read, okay, I understand that. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit indwells you, you can read the Bible and understand it just as well as I can. Did you know that? But Pastor, you've been to seminary. Sometimes that's more of a hindrance than a help. I'm going to just tell you the truth. But the Holy Spirit can teach you. And what you and I have to do, and this is the hard thing for us to do, is listen. And then the really hard part isn't to listen. Agreeing is the next, and that's pretty hard to agree with God, because sometimes when God tells me things, I don't agree with them, because it's not because I don't agree with them. I don't like them, because it means I'm going to have to change. And then that big one is obey. Anybody ever heard that word before? That's the hard thing. And I don't know what it looks like for you, but I believe as a fellowship, God is leading us in a direction and is moving us in a direction, and he's asking us to trust him. So that's real simple today. Are you going to trust him with your life? Are you going to allow him to use you to truly be salt of the earth, to truly make a difference where he has placed you? Are you going to come up with excuses and analysis? I mean, I'm just talking about me. I do this a lot. I analyze everything. I come up with excuses. God, this won't work. You don't understand, God. I've been in ministry for a while, and I know this won't work. That's really funny when I tell God that. I bet they get a laugh in heaven when I start talking, pretty much most of the time. Let's see what goofy stuff comes out of Mike's mouth today when he's praying to the Savior. He's going to try and make these excuses. Those don't wash, because God has a plan, and God will accomplish through your life what he desires, whether you let him or not. But isn't it always better to let him use you and allow him to work through you rather than working in spite of you? I just wonder what he's up to today. Wonder what he's up to in the hearts and lives of those of us that are here. We're going to give you a chance to find out. Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you move in our lives, how you change us. Lord, sometimes it is not easy. Sometimes it is very frustrating. Sometimes I'm not sure what he's doing. I know that Jason and Beth and their kids can relate to this very much this morning, that the uncertainty drives us crazy sometimes. But you, our Lord, in the middle of our uncertainty and doubt, you are still Lord. In the middle of the chaos as we perceive it, in the middle of things when things are turned up in our lives and we are not sure the direction that you are going, you are still Lord. And you are calling us to be salt and light to this world. To be used by your goodness, by your power, by your grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, to make a difference in this world so that others may come to know that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. And he is the only hope for this world in which we live. Father, if there is one here today that has never come into a relationship with you, that has never crossed that line of faith, and never said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to give this a shot, that has never done that before, then I pray today would be the day that they step across that line and get rid of the excuses and trust you. And for those of us that have been following you, or say we've been following you for a long time, that have claimed to be your followers, Father, I pray that we would lay down our inhibitions, all of our frustrations and fears, and trust you with our lives and allow you to do in and through us whatever you want, no matter what happens to us. Because it doesn't matter what happens to Mike. Really doesn't. As long as the kingdom of God is furthered and your name is exalted and glorified to the ends of the earth. Thank you for this time. Use it in whatever way you desire. For this is in the name of Jesus, our Son, our Savior, our Lord, our everything, that we pray. Amen.